الرحيم وبه نستعين وهو خير الوهاب المعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Last night I spoke about the possibility of seeing Imam Mahdi, and I considered some of the riwayat for and against that, and the conclusion we came up with was that seeing him is possible, and that, and then I recounted three accounts of our great scholars actually seeing him. Sayyid Bahauddini, Ayatollah Sayyid Bahauddini, and Ayatollah Sayyid Bahru al-Ulum. Recently, however, some of our scholars, or I should say one prominent scholar, has strongly denounced the possibility of seeing Imam Mahdi, and has said that, with all due respect to all scholars, whoever says or relates that Imam Mahdi, that he has seen Imam Mahdi, or that someone they associate with has seen Imam Mahdi, they should be called kadhdhab. So I would like to address this issue, this question first, inshallah ta'ala, and then I'll consider two other questions relating to Imam Mahdi's life, inshallah ta'ala. The strongest argument that this particular scholar has in denouncing and rejecting the possibility of our scholars seeing Imam Mahdi is the final tawqi'ah, the final letter written by Imam Mahdi to his final, to his fourth na'ib, Ali ibn Muhammad Samuri. This tawqi'ah seems to categorically reject any type, any possibility of anyone during the age of the major occultation, the possibility that anyone could see Imam Mahdi. Let me read to you this final tawqi' of Imam Mahdi to al-Shaykh Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samuri. حدثنا أبو محمد الحسن بن أحمد المكتب قال كنت بمدينة السلام, I was in Medina, في السنة التي توفي فيها الشيخ علي بن محمد السموري. The reporter says, I was in Medina the year that the last Naib of Imam Mahdi passed away. فحضرته قبل وفاته بأيام. I went and saw him a few days before he passed away. فأخرج إلى الناس توقيعا. When I was with him, he published a letter, the last letter from Imam Mahdi. نسخته هكذا. This is the letter. This is the content of that letter, the final letter of Imam Mahdi to Shaykh Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samuri. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya Ali ibn Muhammad, a'azam Allah ajra ikhwanika fiik. He says, Imam Mahdi gives his condolences to the Shia in advance of the death of Ali ibn Muhammad. أعظم الله أجر إخوانك فيك فإنك ميت ما بينك وبين ستة أيام. You will die in 6 days. فاجمع أمرك. Tie up all the loose ends that you have. ولا توسى الى احد يقوم مقامك. And do not pass on the position of niyaba to anyone after yourself. You are the final na'ib. You are the fourth and final na'ib of Imam Mahdi. فقد وقعت الغيبة الثانية. The major occultation has come. فلا ظهور إلا بعد إذن الله. The reappearance will not occur until when God gives the word, when God gives the call of the reappearance. وسيأتي شيعتي من يدعي المشاهدة. This is the sentence that needs to be highlighted. There will be some of the Shia who will claim to see me. ألا فمن ادعى المشاهدة قبل خروج السفياني والصيحة فهو كاذب مفتر. I hereby announce whoever claims to have seen me prior to the rebellion of Sufyani and prior to the call, the sayha. We know that, inshallah ta'ala, prior to the, one of the signs of the coming of Imam Mahdi is a sayha, is a call. We don't know what the nature of this call will be. There's going to be a sayha during the month of Ramadan, and some rawayat say it's going to be the night of the 23rd of the month of Ramadan. So, in this tawqi', Imam Mahdi is saying, فَمَنْ دَعَى الْمُشَاهَدَ قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ السُّفْيَانِ وَالصَّيْحَةِ فَهُوَ كَاذِبٌ مُفْتَرٌ. Whoever claims to see me before the rebellion of Sufyani, he is the bad guy who is going to fight Yamani and who is going to fight Imam Mahdi. Before this time, whoever says that they are in contact with me, they are lying. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. The tawqi' finishes it with these words. As you can see, this tawqi' specifies that people cannot see Imam Mahdi. However, and this is like I said, this is the major argument, the major reason that this respected scholar has in denouncing those who say that there are scholars who see Imam Mahdi. But the question is this, is it enough to refer to one riwayah to prove a point, even if the riwayah is nas, even if the riwayah is explicit in indicating a point? Is it sufficient to rely on one riwayah? In the science of fiqh, of jurisprudence, and the science of usul al-fiqh, we study different ways whereby we can verify topics and we can come to conclusions. Fuqaha say that even when you have a nas, when you have an explicit riwayah pointing to a topic, proving a point of view, but there are contravening riwayat, and there are contravening accounts, there are opposing accounts, okay? Even if those opposing accounts might not be nas, okay, which in our case they are nas, but when those opposing accounts, when they are numerous, they take precedence over the dalil, over the reasoning that is explicit. In other words, in our case, in our pointing case, as you recall last night, there are riwayat that say that seeing Imam Mahdi is possible for some. I mentioned those riwayat last night. And at the same time, there are mutawatir accounts. I'll explain what mutawatir means. There are mutawatir accounts of our scholars seeing Imam Mahdi. I named two books that relate these numerous accounts. One is An-Najm al-Faqid by Muhaddith Nuri, and the other is Muntaha al-Amal by Muhaddith al-Qumi. The accounts relating the encounters of our scholars with Imam Mahdi are mutawatir. In other words, they are repeated so many times that they are beyond question, that they are beyond doubt. The tawatur, as the usuliyun call it, is tawatur al-ijmali. At-tawatur al-ijmali. In other words, we have so many different accounts narrated that we know for sure at least some of them are true. And so it is a very lousy reasoning, okay, to refer to one riwayah that says, to refer to this tawqi'ah that says those who claim to see me are kadhab, to refer to this and say that all our scholars who have said that they've seen Imam Mahdi, na'udhu billah, they were kadhab, or they were disillusioned, or they were under false illusions of seeing Imam Mahdi. It's a very lousy reasoning. It's a very weak reasoning. And our scholars, the scholars whose encounters with Imam Mahdi have been narrated, they have all been fuqaha themselves. And those people, those scholars who have narrated their accounts, they have also been all fuqaha. They have seen all these riwayat. They have read this tawqi' many, many times. They are aware of all the contravening and opposing riwayat. And therefore, to refer to this particular riwayat and say that it is not possible, we need to seek refuge in God and coming to such conclusions and coming to such strong conclusions and questioning the credibility of our scholars, our prominent scholars throughout the history of the Shia faith. And to show you that this is not just my interpretation, I'm going to quote to you three prominent scholars, although, as I alluded to last night, many of our fuqaha believe this. Imam Khomeini, Sayyid Qutbi, all of them, they all agreed that seeing Imam Mahdi, for the very elite, this very spiritual elite, it's possible to see Imam Mahdi. Although we can't just accept whoever comes by and relates an account of seeing Imam Mahdi, we can't accept that. But we know for sure that the very elite, the very spiritual elite of the Shia scholars, or the Shia community, not even scholars. I talked about the Rajal al-Ghaib being at the service of Imam Mahdi. They can see Imam Mahdi. So Allama Majlisi rahmatullah alayh, after relating this tawqi' that I just read to you, after relating this, he pins this particular conclusion. لعله محمول على من يدعي المشاهدة مع النيابة وإيصال الأخبار من جانبه إلى الشيعة. We have no choice but to say that this tawqi' is referring to those people who claim to see Imam Mahdi, implying that they are in contact with Imam Mahdi and that they can act as the mediators between Imam Mahdi and the Shia. لعله محمول على من يدعي المشاهدة مع النيابة وإيصال الأخبار من جانبه إلى الشيعة على مثال السفراء. Just like the position in the office that the four na'ibs during the period of the minor occultation had. لا ينافي الأخبار التي مضت وستأتي في من رآه. Because we have to reconcile between this and those mutawatir riwayat that we have about our scholars and the spiritual elite seeing Imam Mahdi. So So that's Allama Majlisi. Ayatollah Saadat Parvar, a contemporary mystic who has also compiled the riwayat for and against seeing Imam Mahdi. Please recite salawat.
Allahumma salawat.
Ayatollah Saadat Parvar, one of the prominent students of Allama Tabatabai, after relating all the riwayat, contradictory riwayat, أقول يستشم من الأحاديث المذكورة في هذا الفاصل. We can infer from the riwayat, from the reports mentioned in this chapter, the chapter that he narrates the riwayat, أن المراد من عدم رؤيته. What Imam Mahdi means in this tawqi', but not by Shia not being able to see him, بعد الغيبة الصغرى عدم إمكان أخذ الأحكام والتكاليف الدينية عن عليه السلام مباشرة. What Imam Mahdi means in this tawqi' is that there is not going to be a na'ib like the age of the minor occultation, where he acts as the mediator between him and Shia, and that as a person who gets the ahkam, gets the instructions of Imam Mahdi and conveys them to the Shia. There is not going to be such a person. وَأَمَّا زِيَارَةُ بَعْضِ الْخَوَاصِ إِيَّاهُ مِنْ غَيْرَ مَا كَانْ مِنْ وَظَائِفِ النُّوَّابِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْتَحِيلٍ. But for scholars, for the elite to see him without claiming the office of the Nawab, without claiming the office of the representatives of Imam Mahdi, it is not impossible. Furthermore, وَنُقَلَ فِي هَذَا الْمَجَالِ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى زِيَارَةِ بَعْضِ الْأَعَاظِمِ وَالْمُنْتَخَبِ وَالْمُنْتَجَبِينَ مِنْ مُحَبِّيهِ إِيَّا عَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ غَيْرُ قَابِلٍ لِلْإِنْكَارِ. In the reports that we have about our scholars seeing Imam Mahdi, they are beyond doubt. Ayatollah Sayyid Muhsin Kharrazi, he gives the same conclusion. He voices the same view. He's still alive. He's a prominent theologian in Qom, and he's a prominent student of Imam Khomeini. He gives the same view as the ones I just read to you by Allama Majlisi and Ayatollah Saadat Parvar. But he goes even further. He says, هَذَا مُضَافًا إِلَىٰ أَنَّ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ وَسِعَتِ شِيعَةِ مَنْ يَدْعِ الْمُشَاهِدَ لَا يُفِيدْ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ وَالظَّنُّ لَا يُقَاوَمُ مَعَ الْقَطْعِ الْحَاصِلِ مِنَ الْقَضَايَ الَّتِي تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ رُؤْيَتِهِ. This tawqi' in the language of the fuqaha is a khabar wahid. It does not endow, or it does not provide certainty. That's one thing. Another thing, mushahada is open to different interpretations. What Imam Mahdi means by the inability of mushahada, the inability of seeing Imam Mahdi. And these reasonings, these reasons that are done, they cannot go against the certainty that we arrive at by the accounts that we read of the scholars who have met Imam Mahdi. Therefore, among the scholars, among the Shia scholars, it's pretty much a matter of consensus that the elite, the spiritual elite of the Shia, can see Imam Mahdi. And there is hope for us to see Imam Mahdi. As I mentioned last night, the way to seeing Imam Mahdi is, inshallah, observing taqiyya, observing taqwa, inshallah ta'ala. And thereby, we might be able to see Imam Mahdi one day, inshallah ta'ala. The next question I would like to address relating to the life of Imam Mahdi is also a controversial question that different scholars have different views about in among the general Shia public. It's a matter of debate, is whether Imam Mahdi has a family or not. Whether he is single still or he has a family. There are scholars who say that Imam Mahdi has a family, in fact has a very, very large family. He's married many, many wives, and many, many wives of his have passed away because they do not have the same lifespan as he does, and many of his children have passed away, but still there are, he has a very, very large extended family that are alive. And to prove their point, they have a number of reasonings. One of their reasonings is based on the riwayah that Allama Majlisi relates in his Bihar al-Anwar, concerning Al-Jazirat al-Khadra, the Green Island, where reportedly Imam Mahdi's family lives, and Imam Mahdi's family is thousands of people strong. In other words, there's thousands of family members of Imam Mahdi. That's one reason. Another reasoning is the riwayat that we have, some of the riwayat that we have in the ad'iyya and the ziyarat that refer to the ahl or the family of Imam Mahdi. That's another reasoning. Another reasoning is that they say, according to the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt, I don't know how exactly to put this to make it sound a little more decent. The Ahlul Bayt have, the Imams, they have very strong shahwa. This is in the riwayat. They have a very strong libido. And Imam Mahdi is young, we know. God has preserved him at around 40 years of age, younger than 40 years of age. And so he's very young and he has the need for marriage. And the sunnah of the Prophet is also marriage, an-nikahu sunnati. And so it is not conceivable that with the need that Imam Mahdi has, and with the riwayah that we have about their, that need that they have, it is not conceivable that he would go against the tradition of the Prophet. These are, as far as I can remember, the reasonings that are put forth in relation to the family of Imam Mahdi. Let's evaluate these reasonings. The first reasoning I would like to address is the issue of Jazirat al-Khadra, the Green Island, the Greenland, if you will, that Imam Mahdi's family lives, purportedly lives. First of all, there is no sanad, there is no chain of transmission for this report. Allama Majlisi himself, when he relates this report, he says, وَجَدْتُ رِسَالَةً مُشْتَهِرَةً لِقِصَّةِ الْجَزِيرَةِ الْخَضْرَىٰ فِي الْبَحْرَ الْأَبْيَضِ أَحْبَبْتُ إِرَادَهَا لِاجْتِمَالَهَا عَلَىٰ مَنْ رَآهُ وَلَمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْغَرَائِبِ وَإِنَّمَا أَفْرَدْتُ لَهَا قَابًا لَأَنِّي لَمْ أَظْفِرْ بِهِ فِي الْأُصُولِ الْمُعْتَدَرَةِ. I have come across this manuscript that seems to be an old manuscript. I stumbled upon this old manuscript that relates the account of Imam Mahdi's family living in Al-Jazeera al-Khadra. I have not seen this account in any of the credible books of Shia, but I thought I would narrate it because it is pertinent to the topic of this chapter, which is about those who have seen Imam Mahdi. So there is no credible source that actually relates. He just saw this manuscript that seems to be an old manuscript, and he relates it in his Bihar al-Manwal. And he's explicitly specifies that there is no credible source that mentions this. And then when we read this riwayah, when we read this report, it is a very, very fanciful account that resembles stories rather than the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt. This person goes through all these various seas, and he goes from this island to that island, and then he gets... It's a very fanciful report, a very, very lengthy one too. For those who would like to refer to it, it's volume 52 of Bihar al-Anwar, starts on page 159. I think it goes all the way up to page 174. So this, other than not having a credible source, the story itself sounds like a very fanciful story. Just as you might have heard this before, when we are evaluating the credibility of riwayat, other than the chain of transmission that we take into consideration, the matn is also a very important element in determining the credibility of the riwayat. Right? So there are certain riwayat and reports that we have. Their chains of transmission might not be that great, but their mutun, their contents testify to their divine origin into the fact that they were said and uttered by the Ahlul Bayt. Like Al-Hadith Al-Kisa, like Al-Sahifa Al-Sajjadiyya, like Nahjul Balagha. These are books and riwayat that we have whose chains of transmission are not that great, but their contents testify to the fact that they were uttered by the Ahlul Bayt themselves. By the same token, when we have a riwayat, especially if its chain of transmission is weak, and the sanad itself, the contents, doesn't resemble the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt, but rather it resembles fanciful stories, that's additional proof that the riwayat cannot be correct. Now, as to those scholars who refer to the issue of libido and shahwa and the tradition of the Prophet and marriage and the fact that it's not conceivable for Imam Mahdi not to get married during this very, very, very long period of time, I think these scholars have failed to take into consideration the entire spectrum of the existence of the Imam. I'll explain what I mean. They are true in saying that, they are correct in saying that we have the riwayat that specify that the shahwa of the Ahlul Bayt is, it's as strong as it can get. But at the same time, we have the riwayat that talk about the spiritual reality of the Ahlul Bayt, the transcendental reality of the Ahlul Bayt. So when we want to consider well-rounded, complete picture of the existence of the nature of the Ahlul Bayt, we have to take all these riwayat into consideration at the same time and then make a judgment. Not yu'manu bi-ba'd wa yakfuru bi-ba'd. We have to take all the riwayat into consideration. There are numerous riwayat in the corpus of tradition, in the Jawami' al-Riwayin, that talk about the different levels of the soul and spirit of the Ahlul Bayt. I have alluded to this, to these riwayat in some of my previous speeches. But they are very key, they are very crucial in coming to a complete knowledge of the nature of the Ahlul Bayt. Therefore, I would like to read to you one of these riwayat, which Imam Baqir, it is related through Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, from Imam Baqir.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
عن جابر عن أبي جعفر عليه الصلاة والسلام سألته عن علم العالم. I asked Imam Baqir concerning the knowledge of the عالم. By عالم he means the عالم آل محمد the أهل البيت. اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. فقال لي يا جابر إن في الأنبياء والأوصياء خمسة أرواح. The prophets and the successors of the prophets, the awliya, they have five spirits. They have five spirits. Of course, we need to understand that the spiritual existence of the human being, the soul, is not a composite, is not composed of different components. It's a simple reality. What the Imam means is that their soul has five different levels. It has these five different levels. As I've explained in previous speeches, the human being, or the microcosm, the hierarchy of the macrocosm, and that just as the macrocosm, just as the cosmos has different levels of existence, the human existence also has different levels of existence. So what Imam Baqir means here is not that there are five discrete or distinct souls built onto the body of the Ahlul Bayt. No. What he means is that the soul of the Ahlul Bayt, the spirit of the Ahlul Bayt, has five levels. Ya Jabir, inna fil anbiya wal awsiya khamsata arwah. There are five souls. Ruhul Qudus, the Holy Spirit. This is the true interpretation of the Holy Spirit, not the interpretation that the Christians provide of the Holy Spirit. The highest level of the soul of the Ahlul Bayt, of the Imams, is the Holy Spirit. Ruhul Qudus. Wa Ruhul Iman. One lower level is the spirit referred to as the spirit of faith. Wa Ruhul Hayat. Ruhul Hayat. The basic human soul that everyone has is referred to as ruh al-haya. Wa ruh al-quwwa, the spirit of, I don't know how you would want to translate this, the spirit of potency maybe, which based on the other riwayat I've read in this context, I think I should interpret this as the vegetable soul. وَرُوحُ الشَّهْوَةِ, the animal soul. So the soul of the Imams contains these five different levels. At the top is the Ruh al-Qudus. Below that is the Ruh al-Iman. Below that is Ruh al-Hayah, the basic human soul. Below that is the animal soul. And below that is the vegetable soul. Now, based on the other riwayat, this is not specified in this riwayat, but based on the other riwayat we have in this relation, the mu'mineen, the muttaqeen, they have the four souls. They have the ruh al-iman and ruh al-quwwa and ruh al-hayat and ruh al-shahwa, but they do not have the ruh al-qudus. And the non-believers, they have three of these souls. They do not have the ruh al-iman. So Imam Baqir continues to say, فَبِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ يَا جَابِرَ عَرِفُ مَا تَحْتَ الْعَارِشِ إِلَى مَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. It is on account of the Holy Spirit, it is on account of the Ruh al-Qudus, that the Ahlul Bayt have knowledge of everything below the throne of God until the very midst of the earth. ثم قال يا جابر إن هذه الأربعة أرواح يصيبها الحدثان إلا روح القدس فإنها لا تلهو ولا تلعب. This is the point. The four lower souls, روح الإيمان وروح الحياة وروح الشهوة وروح القوة, these are prone to fluctuations. A mu'min might sin, and the ruh al-iman might weaken. But the ruh al-qudus, it is always in a constant state of awareness of God. So Ruh al-Qudus is the highest level of the soul in existence of the Ahlul Bayt, that is in contact with that transcendental reality that I talked about before, which is the awwal ma khalaq Allah. Awwal ma khalaq Allah nur al-Nabi. That first existence, Ruh al-Qudus, is that connection between the Imams in that luminous existence that they have at that transcendental level. It is always present. It never, they can never neglect it. It is always present with them. And it is by account of this soul that they have absolute power and control over all of their lower existence and desires. The Ruh al-Iman or the Ruh al-Hayah, they're not that strong. Even Ruh al-Iman, which is in contact with God in a sense, it can undergo fluctuations, and therefore it is not in full control of the Shahwa, of the Ghadab, of the different forces of the corporeal existence. Ruh al-Qudus, however, the Holy Spirit, however, is always present, is always in control of the body of the Ahlul Bayt. That is why we have riwayat that say even when the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt go to sleep, their eyes are asleep, or their hearts are awake. I don't know if you've heard those riwayat. Their hearts are awake. They never, even when they're asleep. So those riwayat that we have, that the Ahlul Bayt, that the Prophet or Imam Ali, they overslept and then their prayer became qadha, that cannot be true. It cannot be true. We cannot accept those riwayat. Why? Because these riwayat and numerous other riwayat say that the Ruh al-Qudus is always present, in that their heart never goes to sleep, even when their eyes go to sleep. And therefore, going back to why I even mentioned this riwayat, these respected scholars who mention, who appeal to the Rawayat regarding the Sheikh Mahdi al-Bayt to prove that Imam Mahdi has definitely married and has thousands and thousands of children and grandchildren and great 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 grandchildren, they have not taken the true picture of the nature of the Ahlul Bayt into account. Yes, they have the desires, the human desires that we have, and they must have the human desires that we have, because they encompass all the realms of existence. And if they didn't have the desires, if they didn't encompass the desires, they wouldn't be able to relate to us. They won't be able to speak to us. They won't be able to convey the ahkams to us. However, at the same time, they have the Ruh al-Qudus there that is always in control of their desires. They're not like us. It's not that the Imam is going to have any problem if he doesn't marry or if he doesn't have a spouse. Because his Ruh al-Qudus, he is always in touch with God. He is always aware of God. He is always in the presence of God. So it's for him, it's no trouble at all, whether it's 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 100,000 years, to remain in this world without a spouse. So we need to correct our view of the Ahlul Bayt. That's the second answer that I would like to give to those scholars who say that that Imam Mahdi must have a family. Furthermore, Imam Mahdi, inshallah, will practice the tradition of his of the Prophet. Inshallah, when he comes, when he reappears, inshallah ta'ala, he is going to marry and he's going to have a family. And the riwayat and the ziyarat that we have about the family of Imam Mahdi should be understood as referring to after his reappearance, other than the report concerning Jazirat al-Khadra, which is not credible at all. The other riwayat should be understood as referring to Imam Mahdi after his reappearance. Another answer is that the riwayat that I mentioned to you about Nabi Khidr being the companion of the lonely years of Imam Mahdi, and the Rijal al-Ghayb being the companions of the lonely years of Imam Mahdi, they make sense only if Imam Mahdi doesn't have a family. If he has a family, there's no wahsha, there's no wahda for Nabi Khidr or for the Rijal al-Ghayb to be his companion. And lastly, we have numerous riwayat and numerous ziyarat that referred to Medina and Radhwa in the Tawa as being the places where Imam Mahdi mainly is. Medina and Radhwa, which is a mountain near Medina, and the Tawa, which is a region close to Mecca, these are places referred to in our riwayat, in our credible riwayat, about where Imam Mahdi mainly resides during his major occultation. And so, if the account of the Al-Jazirat al-Khazra was correct, it could make sense, because he has to be with his family. This is shar'i duty to be with his family. So again, in relation to these riwayat, the riwayat Al-Jazirat al-Khazra does not make sense. And concerning, when we consider the philosophy or the logic or the reason why the major occultation took place in the first place, and the fact that Imam Mahdi must remain hidden and secret and concealed from people, it becomes all the more clear that the riwayat concerning him having family cannot be accepted. I was planning to consider another question about why we do not mention Imam Mahdi's name. We know that his name is the same as the Prophet. We have been warned not to mention his name. But I think I've spoken too much tonight. InshaAllah ta'ala, maybe I'll sit back tonight. We ask God by the right of Imam Sajjad, inshaAllah ta'ala, that he may help us, that he may intercede on our behalf, inshaAllah ta'ala, that we may be good servants for Imam Mahdi, inshaAllah ta'ala. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من خير عوانه وانصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه وهب لنا رأفته ورحمته ودعاءه وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآله